cohort. So I love the fact that we love each other. That's a really precious thing. So our speaker today, you all know and love this person, but I think that the thing that exemplifies her more than anything else is that she loves Jesus. And she loves Jesus through thick and thin, through good times and through bad times. I've known her for many years now, through some really tough things, and tougher than probably most of us have had to experience. But she and her lovely husband and family have not lost faith in Jesus. In fact, their faith has just deepened, and it's an inspiration to me. So I want you to welcome Mary Damon today.
So my first question is, how many of you would go in a interview dressed like this? If you were going, it's not Home Depot.
Well, yeah,
but most of us would not go on an interview with this, and neither would I. But it goes with the message that I'm going to talk about today, and my thinking is, I want you guys to try to think of, who knows how many disciples there were? 12. How many are there today? Should be many. We should be part of it, right? So there were 12 disciples, and I was reading about the disciples, and like in the Old Testament, I could say I can really relate to David, because he loved to sing, and he loved to pray and worship, but he made mistakes, and God was there. So I was looking at the disciples, and I picked one that I could most relate to. So before we get into the message, I'm going to ask Marcy to go ahead and amen. So when I was reading in Matthew, in Matthew 4 is when Jesus first started picking some disciples. Matthew 4, verse 18. And I find it interesting. My husband went fishing yesterday. He didn't grow up being a fisherman, but some have. And whether we grew up being a fisherman or not, we can all do what this fisherman did. So Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And I'm thinking, okay, some of us can picture ourselves. We have this job, we work, we've earned our right to do this job, we've learned it, whatever. You walk out in the parking lot and somebody walks up to you and says, you know what, put that all aside, come follow me. I mean, seriously, something he heard about Jesus made him think, oh yeah, I want to follow him. He and his brother put down their nets, gave up everything they had known, they were living off of, they gave it all up, put it down, and they followed Jesus. Spontaneous? I would definitely say so. How many of us would do it? How many of us know? You know, how many of us would change our course of work or lifestyle because the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to be knocking on your door tomorrow morning and your whole life is going to change. And somebody comes up to you and says, you know, here's some tickets for Africa God told me to give to you. Would you be willing to change and do that? That's a good question. Ask ourselves, at what point are we willing to give up what he has in our life to change course? Now, one thing about Peter is he was a married man. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. You know, he's going to go follow Jesus for however long Jesus has him follow him. But his wife will be taken care of. God will make sure of that. And, you know, I found that amazing that Jesus goes and visits home, whether he went there to say, okay, this is going to be okay, explain to his wife, whatever. But Peter was still willing to take up and follow Jesus. At what point are we willing to do that? I think of the different type of things God has put my life in. At one point, I had many children, and trust me, anybody that's raising children can know. I think of Jesus, all those disciples were like children to him. He had to train them and raise them. And any of us who have more than two children would know it's hard to keep track of them. It's hard to train them. It's hard to find out what they're doing now or here. And that is a calling of God. To be a mother and to train your children is truly a calling of God. I was there. I had a lot of children. I know what it's like. Then God called me into midwifery. Oh my goodness, the joy of watching little babies come into this world was amazing. Was amazing. And I loved it. I loved the people I worked with, the couples, the midwives that I worked with. I loved every bit of it. Yes, I'm not going to go into the difficult things in my life that I went through, but the jobs. Then God called me to be a custodian. And it's like, okay. And at first it was at OSU, and it was great. It was fun. Then God took that away, and I was confused. Lord, why? Why? You know, I was leaving all these verses in all the dorms, and it was great. It was great. I was actually not a cleaner or just fixed their dorms up for them, like their blinds. But it was a great job. I loved it. I loved being a positive input on the campus. God took that away. Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, I spent days crying. And Lord, why? What happened here? But then God, who sees all things, and he does, and it's so hard sometimes. We want to think, what have I done? Why is this happening to me? But the Lord knows. And my mother became ill, and she needed me to come take care of her for the last 3 months of her life. God knew that. And I'm thinking, Mary, oh, ye of little faith, why couldn't you just trust God? But instead, you want to be all upset. How could you do this to me, Lord? But the Lord wasn't doing it to me. He was doing it for me because I had things to learn. I had more things to do. Then went to a few other supervisor positions of other custodians, short-lived, and then God called me to the high school. Well, I have to admit, I love that. But I realized I don't know how long this job is going to last. And to tell you the honest truth, I love cleaning bathrooms. That's my favorite thing for the students. But it's like God opened the door. He opened the door. Every time he opens the door, I say, wow, how did I get this job? I had no training. I had no experience. You know, I just go there and humbly say, well, I haven't, but I'm more than willing. And I, you know, and God just opens the doors. And I'm standing here going, okay, you must want me here. And that's the kind of willingness that Peter had. You know, what you have for me, Lord, follow you, I'll follow you, I'll serve you, I'll learn from you. So Peter put down all and he followed him. And the verse that shares that he was married was in Matthew 8:4. His mother-in-law was ill and running a fever. I just wanted to. But then Peter, in Matthew 14:28, I just want to walk through a few things that Peter did. And why I can relate to Peter is maybe not his willingness to put down and follow so willingly, but it's his outspokenness. He kind of was the one that wasn't afraid to say anything and sometimes said things that God had to reprimand him. And I can kind of relate to that. Oh, Mary, Mary, Mary. You know, that the Lord saying that to me. Okay, in 14, to start it. Verse 28. And Peter, oh, I want to start above that. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, you have to understand he just fed 5,000 people, or no, more, men and children, women and children. And they went out on a boat. Jesus went to be alone. And then he comes walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." So my thing is, with Peter, he was so willing to say, "Oh, pick me. You know, hey, Lord, let me walk." And, you know, the thing about us when we do things for the Lord, if we don't stay humble or realize who's got us on the water, what happens? We sink fast. And that's all of us. I mean, we can all relate to times that we thought we were there and we're sinking. We're sinking. And I also was contemplating, what were the other disciples thinking? Are you kidding me? Is he really going to? He's not going to do that. Why would he even ask? You know, you can hear, you know, thoughts. What would you say if you saw somebody stepping out in that kind of faith, like Marcy and TR getting on a plane and going to Africa? Are they kidding? They're not prepared for that. Are they, you know, I mean, would you have questions? Sometimes we question things that God is doing in someone else's life. And who knows how the other disciples, but none of the others were saying, "Pick me, let me walk." You know, it was Peter. And sometimes we do that. We're so ready to serve the Lord, which he wants us to be so ready to serve him, but he also wants us to see by whose strength we stand. So when you're sinking, the Lord always has a hand. But Peter had to do one thing. What did he have to do to get that hand? He had to reach up and take Christ's hand. I've been talking with somebody lately who's sinking, and I was telling the story and said, you know, you've got to reach up and grab his hand. He's there, but you have to get up and reach his hand. And that's the way each one of us needs to be. When we're sinking, reach up and grab his hand, because we all will sink. We will all have our times of sinking. So many times for me. But the Lord has always been faithful. He's always been there. Always. And he's always there for you. But I love that he was so willing to walk on water. You know, that's a powerful thing. I mean, it takes stepping in and getting an interview to get a job you're not qualified to even get there. I mean, I've always told my kids, either God opens the doors or he closes them. But at least you stepped forward. Same for Peter. He'd have never walked on water if he hadn't asked the Lord. He'd have never found who his strength was at that moment had he not walked out there and started sinking and grabbed the hand of Jesus. So I love that. And then in Matthew 15:15, Jesus is teaching them. He's teaching them parables. And Peter says unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." Peter had that, I want to know more. I really want to understand this. And you know what? We will never know or understand the word if we don't open it ourselves. You can come to church. Somebody can read the word. I can tell you about Peter. I can read to you, or Pastor Dave, or anyone else can read the word to you. But until you open it and say, you know what? I really want to know what these disciples were about. Who are they? What were they like? What was Peter like? Open the word and find out. I mainly want to see people take away, I want to know more. When they hear me talk about the word, I want them to say, wow, I want to know more. Really, what was he like? Or what disciple am I like? I want to know more. And that's the way Peter was. Explain it to me, please. And God did. It was a beautiful parable. I would suggest, this is the thing again, that you get into the word and that you read this chapter of this parable that Peter wanted to know more about. Read it. Find out why. How did Jesus continue to explain it to him? It's a beautiful parable. But again, it's where I want you guys to look in the word and read it. So read chapter 15 of Matthew today, this week, and find out what was this parable. Why did Peter want to know more? Personally speaking, the way Peter was, I think he always wanted to know more. I think he always wanted more of an understanding what's going on, you know. So we're coming further, and in Matthew 16 is where Jesus starts. He's been walking with them for some time. They have seen the Sermon on the Mount, which is amazing. How he picks his disciples is amazing. His Sermon on the Mount is amazing. I want to just go back real quickly to when he picked the disciples, he didn't go to the churches. He didn't go to the universities. Will he pick people out of there? Absolutely. But he took the people he knew, their hearts were willing to drop all. I mean, in reality, if we're in a 5-year, 6-year program in a university and the Lord says, after you've put 2 years into it, I need you to stop that and come follow me, that's kind of tough. You know, a lot of us, that would be kind of tough. But God knew who would drop all and follow him and learn from him. And he would have it that we'd all be willing to stop wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, and follow him. It's easier for me because my whole lifestyle is, it's easy. Okay, you close that door, you open another, you know, what am I going to do? I'll walk in it, yeah. It's always exciting to see the new things God has. My husband, I think, used to think I was a little bit crazy when he'd lose a job, like a mill would close down or whatever, and I'd say, well, it's okay, honey. God's got something better. It is true, but it's hard when you're faced that, you know? Oh, that's okay. And that's the kind of wife I was. Oh, don't worry. God's got something better. Sometimes it's easier for some of us to say that than maybe others who actually carry the load of keeping the family afloat. But God still wants us to be willing. So they had heard these messages, seen these miracles, and it's coming, winding down towards the end. And Jesus is starting to ask them, do you know who I am? I mean, you've walked with me. Do you know who I am? So in Matthew 16, let's see, that's where Peter speaks, so it's got to go. 13th, right, thank you. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, is that how you say it? And Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He not only asked them, whom do they say, but he's saying who he is right in that verse. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. Now, my thing is, did the disciples really understand who God was when they stopped and followed him, or did they suspect he might be a prophet? I don't know, but they saw something in him, and everybody wanted to be connected to a prophet. I think a lot of people did, you know, maybe they wanted one, you know, here's another one like John the Baptist, and he had his disciples. Oh, good, I can be this Jesus' disciple, but did they understand? And so he's asking, who do they say I am? And then he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am? So now they have to stop and think. I've seen it all. I've walked with him. I've talked with him. I've argued in his presence. I've done it all. I've slept with him. I've eaten with him. Who do you say I am? And this is where Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon. And then down in 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So all of Peter's personality and everything he's learned and everything he's developed walking with Christ and being with Christ has now, God is saying, it's going to make a difference. I'm going to build my church. I'm using you 12. I'm going to build my church. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Then he goes into being crucified. A lot happens to him from that point on, but he needed to know. And I'm saying this, that, you know, later in life, Christ says that, you know, you guys have walked with me. You've talked with me. You've seen it. We have this to see it with. That's what we have. We have the word. But he said, blessed are those who have not walked with me, who have not talked with me, and yet believe. They haven't been by my side these years, and yet they believe. That's the kind of belief we need. We need to know God for who he is, and the only way to know him is to get into his word. I know I kind of preach that every time I preach, but it's true. You got to know the word to know who God is. You got to read the whole thing to really know who God is so that you can have that kind of faith, so that you can step forward, so that when you're sinking, you can say, oh God, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was sinking, but you pulled me out of it. You pulled me up. Peter continues to be bold in Matthew 26. And I think I want to go to verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye have been offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I have risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter, now here's Peter's outspokenness again, answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. Other versions say, does anybody have another version that has another word for offended? Oh. Stumble. So, and I like that because, you know, when Peter is now being prepared, Jesus is preparing them because it's going to be a hard time. They're all going to reject Christ. And he is, like so many of us, how many of us have said, well, remember in the Columbine thing where the girl stood up for Christ and she was shot? I would do the same. And that's kind of what Peter was saying. I don't care what the other disciples do. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to stumble. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to do that. We all feel like that, but we all fall. We all stumble into things. And, you know, what I love about this is even though Peter went through this time of denying Christ three times, as a parent, you know, you're seeing your children, you know, be disrespectful or whatever, but Christ is on the cross or being beaten, and he sees this. And, you know, Peter looks at him. And I say, wow. Then Christ, when he comes back, he doesn't say, Peter, didn't I tell you? Not at all. He didn't say, why, you losers? You acted like you didn't even know me. You walked with me and act like you didn't even know me. Christ didn't even bring that in to the whole equation. And I think God's mercy, if he doesn't show his mercy and his loving kindness and his forgiveness at that point, you know, to be able to come back and just love on them and say, here I am risen. But nothing about throwing it back in their faces, what they did. And so many of us, that's what we want to do. We don't let things go. We throw things in people's faces. That's where I fall short sometimes, you know, or maybe way too many times. I want to remember the negative things that, especially, I can be so forgiving of non-Christians, but Christians, I mean, come on, we should all be those righteous people, right? And when they offend me, I just want to say, but you, and you, and you, and Christ wasn't that way. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to let it go. We're going to let it go because they love the Lord, I love the Lord, and we have a mission. What was the one thing that Jesus said to them? To go and, anybody know? Go and make disciples of all nations. So this is our responsibility. This falls on our shoulders to go out there and bring people to Christ and make disciples out of them so that they can spread the word. Otherwise, the word's not going to get out there. We can go get so busy in our life, and it's easy for me. I live out in no man's land, in the little town of Alsea. It's not really no man's land. If you live out there. But it's easy for me to just get in my own little world, but it's important we get out there, and wherever we are, whoever we see, whatever we do, whether it's cleaning toilets, that we shine the light of Christ. We be the positive. We have to ask God daily, and I know I've said this before, when you step out, get up in the morning, or step outside, you need to say, Lord, help people not to see Mary Damon, help people to see Jesus Christ. Because if they see Mary Damon, they're all going to go, loser, 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 loser. But if they see Jesus Christ, they're going to say, wow, remember Jesus just walked up to these men, said, follow me. That's what you want them to see. Oh, I want who she has. There's something she has. There's something he has. I want it. Got to draw men to us, not by our own means, not by our own ways or wills or words, but Christ. If they don't see Christ in our eyes, in our actions, in our voice, what we speak, in our heart, because we speak what's in our heart, then we're sinking. Reach up and get that strength. Reach up and get the ability to do what Christ wants us to do. Serve him. Spread the word. Be that light. So, not always easy. There are a lot of hard roads, but there are people out there that don't know Christ that are suffering from the same things we suffer from. If you've had a death in your family, someone out there has a death in their family without Christ. If you're losing your home, somebody out there is losing their home without Christ. If you've lost their job, somebody out there has lost their job and they don't have Christ. If your car breaks down, somebody out there doesn't have Christ. So remember, we have a hand to reach up to. And it is our responsibility to give that to other people. Let them find that they too can have that hand. He died for every one of us. Everyone out there he died for. I don't care what they're wearing, what they look like, what color. God made them all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're in a t-shirt or jeans. It didn't matter to Jesus when he picked out his disciples. He picked them right off the boat, and they couldn't have smelled like kings and princesses, but God made them what he wanted to make them because they had willing hearts. He doesn't care what you're wearing. He doesn't care what they're wearing. He cares what's in here, and he cares that they see in our eyes the love of Christ for each and every one of them. Are we willing to give that to the Lord? Are we willing to find more of what Christ is like, what the disciples were like, where they went? Are we willing to go forward for the Lord and say, Lord, today this is what I do. Tomorrow it may be different, but I place my hand, my life, my everything into your hands. So reach up and grab him when you're sinking and help others to find that hand that is so extended for each and every one of them. So I would like, TR, would you pray for the congregation for this wilderness? Thank you.